Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Rough, but lately I've been doing better than the last four cold Decembers I recall. And I see my family every month. I found a girl my parents love. She'll come and stay the night, and I think I might have it all. And I thank God every day for the girl he sent my way. But I know the things he gives me, he can take away. And I hold you every night, and that's a feeling I wanna get used to. But there's no man as terrified as the man who stands to lose you. Oh, I hope I don't lose you. Please stay. I want you, I need you, oh God. Don't take these beautiful things that I've got. Please stay.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, March 10th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Please, Lord, don't take these beautiful things that I've got. I chose this song specifically. I wasn't going to play it right now. But I have a guest in studio, a strong man, a godly man, a man who has overcome a number of challenges and obstacles. A man who is important to me, who is endeared to me. But the reason why I chose this song, because recently, his love for how many years now?
Well, my wife has, in June will make 2 years and she's been gone, but I've been married for 48 years.
That's Godfrey Nuri, who is my guest for today. I'm heralding his wife, his good wife. Because she transitioned recently,
right,
2 years ago, and he was beautiful to her, right? She was beautiful to him.
Oh,
I
yes,
meant to say, every minute he gives her praise
we
and
had a
honor.
Great life together.
And this book that he has here, he dedicated this book. That's what we're going to be talking about: Walking Through the Seasons, A Story of My Life by Mr. at least Elder Godfrey Nuri. It's a history book, but it's a book of overcoming obstacles, overcoming
right,
hard times, and a tribute to God itself,
yep,
and how God has helped him and uplifted him and kept him strong. And it's a memory book of a bygone era, right? But I just wanted to recognize your wife at this present time, because I know you're still going through what you're going through. And I know I'm going to be mentioning her shortly within the book. But I wanted to make sure, recognize her at this present time. Rosemary Nuri.
Nuri, right.
Yes. So let me hear about you, Godfrey, Elder Godfrey. Give me a brief synopsis on who you are and then how we come up about deciding to write a book.
All right. Well, it's good to be here this morning, my good cousin, here on this show today. And God has been good to me over the years. And I'm the son of Cecil Nuri. That's the elder Cecil Nuri, who was here many years ago, all right, and I was born in 1951. And my father, who is now deceased, I think he has been gone at least about 10 about 10 years or so. But I thank God. And so this morning, this book that has came about in my spirit was really born in my spirit about three years ago. Me being retired from Sanford Motors after being there for 20 years. And so after I retired, I didn't want to just sit down home, you know, and not doing anything. And my job then was specializing in auto painting and customizing colors for 20 years. And so I got with my son, and we began to do some detailed cleaning on cars, you know, just to keep me physically fit. And so one day working in Sandyport, we had a few customers there, and Dr. David Allen, who office was there at that time, and I hailed him many times, but he didn't know that I know him well, but he didn't know me. So one morning, while he's going to his office, he stopped and asked me, you know, because he realized, he said, "You seem to know me well," but he said, "But I don't know you." And he said, and I began to tell him who I'm at, Godfrey Neary. And he said, "Well, tell me more about yourself." I said, "Well, music and dealing with cars is my life." And he said, "Music?" And he asked me why I play his music. I tell him, "Yeah." I say, "In the 70s, we had one of the top gospel group here in the Bahamas, the Gospel Visionaries, me and Dr. Miles." And so when I said that, and he realized, "Hey, well, it's something special." And he invited me on his program, his TV program at that time, and to share more. And he's the one that motivate me in a way to write a book. He said, "A book is in you. You need to get a book." After I began to share my stories. And so that's how the book came about.
I see Dr. David Allen.
Dr. David Allen.
Gave a special thanks inside your book at the beginning. Also, a tribute was done by Bishop Dr. Philemon Wilson. Yeah. How do you know Dr. Philemon Wilson?
Well, Dr. Philemon Wilson was my first pastor at Cathedral of Praise Church. And, and so I think, he retired now as pastor because of his age. You know, he's there in his 80s. But when I mentioned it to him, he said, "Man, I think that'll be a good idea." And he said, "Definitely, if he got to crawl to write a good sentence about me and how he knows me well over the years." And so that was no problem with him. But Dr. David Allen was, so the book was forwarded by Dr. David Allen, mm-hmm. really, because he has been the motivating voice in making his dream come true today.
I see also evangelist Sonia Boswick, also did a tribute inside your book?
Yes, evangelist Sonia Boswick, me and my wife, along with myself, we joined what they call an evangelistic outreach group of people from various churches, and we will meet go on a park, and what we call have a Jesus rally out on the park, and I would set up instruments, you know, and we play, and we sing, and also we allow some people to share their testimonies and things like that, and then at the end we would give out some packages to some of the needies, and that was happening for pretty close 10 years.
The book, Walking Through the Seasons, The Story of My Life, is not a big book. It's not a cumbersome book, but it is a jam-packed with nuggets, especially biblical mm-hmm. scriptures, inspiration, mm-hmm. and then you tie it into your personal life story.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The startup of with the Proverbs 22:6, I want to know why you chose the child in the way he should go, mm-hmm. and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Why did you put that as the theme of this book?
Well, one of the reasons why, I grew up in a Christian home. My mother and father, they both were Christians.
Give me the names again.
Cecil and Mildred Neary.
Mm-hmm. And you come from a musical family. Everyone inside your family seemed to sing.
Yeah, a lot of us. playing some play instruments and just what everyone could sing. And so here that as we grew up during that time in the early 50s, you know, I've been the eldest boy within the family and also the second child. And so here that growing up in a spiritual environment, it was a blessing to all of us, even though sometimes you cannot do what you wanted, what the other kids were doing. You know, your parents wouldn't allow you to, but we was be able to play the regular things like shooting marbles and spinning top, hiking kites. And so they were the things during that time. And we were excited in doing those things. Now, growing up, where we was living at that time in the Grove, what we call the Grove, Palm Tender Drive off Market Street. And during that time, it was a Curry Road. So where we was living across from us was a lot of trees, almond tree, dilly tree, and canep trees. So we call that the jungle. Mm-hmm. And my brother Kenneth, who next to me, and some of our friends, Nigel Clark, Ortonel Clark, and also Philip Bean and Carlton Bean, we would go there and say we're going in the jungle, you know, and we say we playing thousand in the jungle. So it was fun, you know, during those days.
This book is also a history book.
Oh, yeah.
Your family is one of the first family to move to Fayette Avenue. In fact, Fayette Avenue was not even a road. In fact, your family is responsible for the name Fayette Avenue.
Oh, yes.
To have the name Fayette Avenue mentioned inside the book. Give me the story about how moving, how Carmichael Road was, how Fayette Avenue was, and then how Fayette Avenue got its name.
Well, we moved in Fayette Avenue. But at that time, it wasn't Fayette Avenue. It was just a little alley. And it was three unfinished houses. My uncle, Uncle Walter, my father, and a gentleman from Long Island, Mr. Albury. And Carmichael Road really was a Curry Road as well. And it was a long road. I was still in school. That was my final year in school. And when we moved there, sometime they loved to just drive the truck so far and then finish walk through. So my father, my uncle, and Mr. Albury, they decide to pay a gentleman with a tractor to push the road through and make it a little wider.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a track road. Fayette Avenue is like a track road.
Yeah, it was like a
and
track road.
And your family and Mr. Albury and help widen the road.
Yes.
So your car, the truck, can get through to your house.
Right. And so, but where the road was so rocky and bumpy after, you know, the tractor, because that's all he did was to push the road through. So a lot of rocks and holes, you know. And so my uncle said, well, you need plenty of faith to come through here to really navigate you as you're driving through. Mm-hmm. And so he erect a little sign with a piece of cardboard and a wood to the end by Carmichael Road, say Fayette Avenue, because you need plenty of faith to come through here. And so that is how it becomes. So the government at that time, after the PLP won the election in 67, and they decide to keep that name, Fayette Avenue. And that's how Fayette Avenue is still, because of, it was not named by the government, but it was, that name came up through our family, really.
There are some family members.
It's a business place, a lot of business places, a highway, you know. That'd be helped today.
So, Fayette Avenue is a huge highway and thoroughfare now. And to know that it started from a track, that your family helped widen it by hiring a tractor to widen it. And in fact, there are a number of Nuri family members who live off and around Carmichael Road, Fayette Avenue, being some of the pioneers to move then to that southern corridor. So. But you mentioned a name earlier that is referenced throughout your book. You mentioned Miles Monroe.
Yeah.
Right? Where do you know Miles Monroe from?
Well, in 69 and 68, my father, we joined Bethel Baptist Church at that time, where Miles' family was there. And Miles' father was like an associate minister And my father was become an associate minister there as well. And so under the late Dr. H.W. Brown. And so here, but and also Reverend Duke Smith. So Reverend Duke Smith was associate minister there. And he felt the call of God to start a little mission called Evangelical Assembly True Faith Avenue, Evangelical Assembly True Hospital Lane. Mm-hmm. And after he did that, my father decided to go and give him a hand, and that's how our family get to Evangelical Assembly for those few years there. And I just started playing guitar, getting into music and guitar at that time. I was not a good player then. I just getting into it. But I started there playing, and they had a piano, and no one there to play the piano. So where I been, I know Miles from Bethel Baptist Church, and he was coming on pretty good with the keyboard, with the piano. And so I told him, I invited him, I said, come down, you know, so you could jam with me, because no one there to play. The piano is there, but no one there to play. And so he decided, they came down, and we began to play in the church service on Sunday. And we gelled so much together with the music, and he decided, he said, man, we need to get a group together. So I agree with him. And I said, I know someone who could sing, who have a great voice, Al Gibson. Well, his name is Albert Gibson, but we know him as Al Gibson from the Church of God of Prophecy. Mm-hmm. And so we get him, and Al agreed to join us. And that's how we get. So 69, we began our group, but we didn't have a name mm-hmm. yet. But in 1970, the group was officially formed, 1970. And that name came about from one of our friends from Long Island, Ezekiel Adley, who used to come and listen to us practice at the E.P. Roberts School, at the E.P. Roberts School where Miles was teaching. And so here, during that—
Reverend Miles Monroe was a teacher?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, after his first years before he went off to college. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he started teaching. And so we was able to help practice there at the E.P. Roberts School. And so this young man used to come and listen to us. And he asked us, because we had a new, different sound from the other gospel groups. Because we had many other, traditional gospel groups in the Bahamas here, like the Sacred Sons of Joy, the Pilgrim Brothers. We had the other group, the Joy Bells, and also the Cooling Waters, the Redemption Gospel Singing. All them was already around even before us, but beyond the Pilgrim Brothers. Now, we also had some a cappella groups like the Region Bells, one of the top a cappella groups during that time from in the 60s, really. And we had the Dynamic Features, they all a cappella group, and the BBC Singers, all yeah. right?
I can have Kermit cue up that song right now so people can appreciate who yeah. are the visionaries, yeah. the gospel.
Living with Jesus, that came out in 72.
That's because that's a hit song. That yeah. went global.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you got to tour
it. Brand New World and Living with Jesus.
Whenever you're ready, but finish, tell the story. So you and Miles start the group. I'll join you.
Yes, and we start the group. And so when we told the young man, Ezekiel Ali, we don't have a name yet. So he said he had a group back in Long Island named the Souvenirs. And he said, you think we should name our group the Visionaries? And when he said that, it really struck something within us. And Miles said, yeah, I think that's the name God wants us to have.
Inside your book, you give some Miles Monroe. Him and his brother had a nickname few people in the Bahamas even know. But I thought that is an important question to ask because it adds to the legacy of Miles Monroe. Yep. What was Miles Monroe's nickname?
Well, it was two brothers. They were very close. Paul. Well, the elder one was Paul Monroe, and the other one was Miles Monroe. But his mother give him a nickname, Peter. So that's what we used to call him during that time.
So you used to call Miles Peter.
Right.
Peter and Paul.
Yeah, so his mother said, "These my two disciples for the Lord." And so that's how, but that was his nickname. And so in the early years, that's how people knew him as Peter.
Then, you know, then Miles left the Bahamas to go pursue ministry?
Right. He went to, I can't remember what year. I think that was in 70, might have been, but 72 or 73. Yeah. He went to Oral Roberts University.
Okay. Right. Do you have that song, Not Yet? Visionaries, right? Visionaries.
Yeah, the Visionaries. Living with Jesus or the Brand New World.
Anyway. Brand New World or Living with Jesus. I know there's a modern version on YouTube, Brand New World, just in case you have
search that up. Yeah, but that's Kenny Adder Taylor. Yes. They did a reversion of it.
Yes, yes, yes. So let's talk about you having the opportunity to tour, right? Because we got to remember this is the 1970s.
Yeah.
And that you and your small group was able to tour into the United States, sing at various churches here, and going interdenominational, where people realize that this group was so talented that the Anglicans call you, the Catholics call you, the Baptists call you. Go ahead.
Yes, well, that's what make our group so unique during that time, because we know that God has a calling upon us. And so when we came out with a new sound called, it's a contemporary gospel singing. And so it captured the hearts of many people throughout the Bahamas, and even in break barriers of different denomination. And so I think in every denomination here in the Bahamas, we have sang in Anglican church, we have sang in Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, right up the road. We used to sing a lot to with the Methodist Church right up on Blue Road there. And so God has used us in a very peculiar way. Mm-hmm. And so here that we were able to reach the masses of the people. And also during that time, I think the government at that time had something we call the a Bohemian American Festival in Cocoa Beach, Florida, and they invite us to represent the Gospel Group of the Bahamas. This was in 76, right? 1976.
You had an opportunity, the group, it is, the Visionaries, to meet with the Prime Minister. How did that happen?
Well, in 1973, the Prime Minister was one of our concerts. That's when we, that's just before we came, before the country became independent. And we had him as the, it was under the patronage of Mr. Pendling at that time. And so he invited us, so we invited him to the concert. So he was able to he get to like the group and to really become friends to us. And so on 1974, when they had the independence celebration, Mr. Pendland, he asked us to come and sing Brand New World to our first anniversary of the country. That was in 1974 on Clifford Park.
Go ahead, finish.
So in 1975, then we had a crusade, our first crusade in 1975 at Aaron Bailey School Auditorium, which Reverend Ross Davis, he was Reverend Ross Davis, now he's Bishop Ross Davis, but he was the chairman of it, and we had an international speaker during that time. And we invited the Prime Minister, Mr. Pendant, to open up that crusade. And so it became very close to him, and so he invited us for lunch, you know, during that same year. And so that's how everything has changed. And because of the song has been really a landmark, not only here in the Bahamas, but throughout the world, Brand New World, because it has a message for everybody.
Right now, you're the last member of the Visionaries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's give some tribute to all of the members who have transitioned over the years. Give me some names of who all were members of the Visionaries.
Well, originally, it was four members. It was Al Gibson, who was the lead singer, Leon Bow, the drummer, and Dr. Miles Monroe, who was the keyboard player, and also he sings along with Al, and myself, who was the bass player. And also, we had two additional people who joined the group in 1976, but they is not the original member, Bobby Colebrook, and he is now deceased from St. Paul Baptist Church, all right? He joined us in 76 to play the lead guitar, and we also had Charles Wallace from Grace Community Church on the saxophone. Mm-hmm. And we had them when we went on that tour, when we went to that musical festival in 76 in Cocoa Beach, Florida. So we had a full band. We always also was able to play on the cruise ship during that time because it was on a cruise ship that we went. And also Junkanoo Group and the Calypso Band from the Bahamas. And so, but we ran the Repertum, the gospel group of the Bahamas. And so, right now, it's only, well, we have one more member, Charles Wallace, who joined us in 76.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's not doing well physically, you know. But I'm the only original member that is alive today.
Okay. I see this book has 10 chapters. Mm-hmm. And each chapter you have a biblical verse which you explain how God has enlightened you or guided you during your path. I just want to recognize that mm-hmm. for those people who are interested in purchasing the book, that how they're going to be enriched. Mm-hmm. In terms of purchasing the book, where can people who are listening purchase the book? To hear the history of the Visionaries, to hear some insight mm-hmm. on Miles Monroe, to hear there some history about Faith Avenue, to hear some history about Coconut Grove where you grew mm-hmm. up in.
Yeah.
Where can they purchase the book?
Well, you could give me a call. My number is 565-0035. And also, is my next number is 825-1800. And my Gmail is godfreynuri@gmail.com.
Can I buy this on Amazon or anything like that?
Oh, yes, you can buy it also on Amazon. It's on Amazon as well.
Okay. I have some texts here. And Kermit, did you get those songs for me? I think I was able to send you one, too, also. This question asks, good morning, Mr. Nuri. What is Pastor James Nuri to you? I used to live on Market Street and Pontiana Drive. That's a question to you.
Yeah. They used to live right in the back of us. That's my first cousin.
You say opposite young James across the road from Pastor Pembroke's Smith?
Yeah, James Nuri, Bishop James Nuri, who's now the pastor of Calvary, the Living Church.
That's your first cousin?
Yeah, that's my first cousin.
That's,
his father also named James Nuri.
Yes, and that's your father, Cecil, and your uncle James were brothers.
Right.
Okay, how many were them?
I think they were the second generations
of Nuris to be here.
I think it was four.
Okay.
Uncle Clarence, Uncle Harold, and my father, Cecil, and James.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this text says, good morning, Nuri. Mr. Nuri, ask him what was Lincoln's Bean part in the group. This is after you.
No, Lincoln Bean never was part of
the Visionaries. But he Lincoln, now... Go ahead.
But Lincoln Bean was a part of Kenyatta, Taylor, his group. When they came up after us, their group the name Vision, because we our group impacted them so much. And after we went off the scene, and then they decided to come and as a young group, and they named them themselves the Vision, you see, but not the Visionaries.
Mm, Vision, right? But not
so,
the Visionaries.
So Kenny Arthur Taylor was in charge, him and Lincoln Bain was in charge of that. And that's when they get permission from Miles to do a reversion of Brand New World.
Okay, we have a recording now to listen to. Let's hear it right now.
Son, you'll never make it alone. Just take Jesus as your best friend.
That's nice, man.
Yeah.
It sounded like a foreign group, right? I can't believe that in 1970 or 1980s, that's a Bohemian group.
And the thing about it, that group, that song was written by Al Gibson, all right, the lead singer. That song was written 1970. And it was, and then we recorded at Kaitiri Recording Studio in Miami Beach, in Miami, Florida, in 1972.
Before,
so long that,
can you imagine?
And one of the things what really, what I'll never forget, one day during the late, that was in the late 72, close to the ending part of 1972, me and Miles, I was driving my little Volkswagen at the time, both of us in the car. And, you know, during that time, they had night bars, but what they called the jukebox, right close by the door. And you could pitch your 25 cents in, and punch out the song that you want to hear, whether it's Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, and Jerry Butler.
The
and
top
all
songs
of,
of the Royal now.
All those golden oldies. And our song was the only gospel song within that, and we didn't know.
They included a gospel song in the bar?
Yeah.
Is that inspiration?
So when we was passing, we heard us, the same song, Living with Jesus playing, and Miles say, stop, stop. So we stop, and I revoice and listen. It was coming out the jukebox. Someone must punch it and say they want to hear.
They want to hear that in the middle of the bar.
So our song was the only gospel song that playing in the jukebox during that time, along with all this golden. So when you think about our song now, it, our song really is golden oldies because that song was recorded from 1972. That's more than 50 years.
Before Reverend Miles Monroe transitioned,
You
all had some type of anniversary get-together singing song.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. I think I might have that record. I'm not sure.
We
if
had
I have
a
that.
Reunion concert.
Go ahead.
We had that was in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
We had a reunion concert, and that was the last reunion concert we had in the year 2000. Also, Miles had when he celebrated his birthday in 2013 or 2014, right? And he said that he wanted to have another reunion concert in 2014, but that never materialized because Miles, after the is dead. And that was in the early the ending part of 2014, so we could not no more reunion concert.
When you heard that Miles Monroe about his tragic death, how did it impact you? Where were you? That's a question people ask. Where were you when you heard that Miles Monroe died?
Well, I was at a Bishop Rule, the singing prophet, to his concert at the Sheraton British Union Hotel. And Simeon Alton and all of them were there, and Mother Rachel Markey and other groups. And the storm, and then I saw a B-man, he was the MC, and came to me, that Brent Archer from ZNS. He asked me, say, if I heard the news. I said, what news? He said, he heard that Miles, the plane that he was on, it just crashed and everyone died. So I quickly called Al Gibson, who was in Exoma. Al said he heard it. About it too, you know, and somehow it was announced at the concert because the concert was under the patronage of Prime Minister, who's the Prime Minister now, David Brave Davis, and after he came to give his comment, he said that yes, that he had just ready had a call from the Prime Minister, Perry Christie, that the plane has crashed and they all didn't, none survive. And I tell you, that concert that night turned into a weeping concert. Mm. Everyone was crying. Everyone is just mourning, you know. And it was a really sad state at that time, you know, for everybody who was at that concert. No one could, they couldn't sing. No one could have sing. All is just crying.
The whole world stopped.
Yeah. And that's why I put it in the book. Mm-hmm. I said, the man, Dr. David Allen, he said, the whole world stops. Everything stopped.
This text says, good morning, Mr. Nuri. Oh, no, good morning. Saying, addressing you now. Mr. Nuri is a legend. He must be noted as a national hero. The person wants you to know about that.
All right, thank you.
Do you have that song, The Brand New World, Kermit? If you do,
yeah,
can you
play a little piece of that?
Yes.
The original Brand New World.
Good. Or even the one, if you can't find that one, the one where Mr. Monroe is, Pastor Monroe is singing by himself, either one would be good for me. As Kermit gets that up and cue that up.
Yeah.
The book continues. You mentioned in chapter 5, you have a whole chapter about family.
Yep.
Then you have a chapter about marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose to have a chapter about family, a chapter about marriage?
Well, it is very important in our day and time in which we're living, because too many marriages failing and too many people getting married for the wrong reason. And one of the reasons I think people, like a lot of marriages now, they spend more time preparing for big weddings and spend less time for marriage, which is a lifetime thing. And so they got to, because see, a wedding is only for one day. And they spend thousands of dollars preparing for that one day event. But that didn't make hardly no preparation for the marriage. And so me being married for 48 years, I think that God has blessed me with some good wisdom and knowledge, and to really to impart in people who that you could have a great marriage once you have those different principles within those marriage, you know. And I've named some of the principles within the book that could have a great marriage, not a perfect marriage, because you know there's no perfect marriage on this age, because you're dealing with imperfect people, but you could have a good marriage.
You're a Christian man, Mr. Nuri Godfrey.
Mm-hmm.
But you had some trials. Some trials,
yes.
I'm sure you had to question God.
Oh, yes.
Your first child, your daughter, she transitioned early.
Yes.
How is it, I don't even know how to even ask the question. Forgive me for asking it, cousin.
That's okay.
To lose a child. My mother told me a parent is not supposed to bury a child. The child is supposed to bury the parent.
Yeah.
But you lost your child young.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful woman.
Yes. Oh, well, I tell you that it was so devastating to me and my wife. Because she was diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer. The same year, she was supposed to get married. And that she was only 27, I think, at that time when she was diagnosed. But, you know, she had the surgery and she went through all the process as far as like the chemotherapy, and I tell you, it was really devastating. But the thing about it, God has blessed her, a young man who she met when she was off, and he was an African type who live in America, who school in America as well, and he still is in America, in Chicago. And so, but God has brought them together. She was a Christian, and he was also a Christian. And she was a great singer. She sang along with the Bahamas Public Officers Choir, which I played lead guitar for now. I played lead guitar for them for over 10, 15 years. I've traveled with them and played on the grand stage of Cleveland, Tennessee, Connecticut, Turks and Caicos Island, Florida. I played lead guitar for them. I don't play the bass no more. But during the group, I was the bass player. And so music is my life.
Kermit, did you get to get that song? If you get to cue it up right now, because I'm going to ask Godfrey Nuri, who have his book, the book Walking Through the Seasons, The Story of My Life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just play right now.
In a brand new world, he can never find.
If you want a brand new world, you gotta have a brand new people. If you want a brand new people, you gotta have a brand new life. If you want a brand new life, you gotta have a brand new spirit. If you want a brand new spirit, you gotta come to Jesus Christ.
Who's that singing that part right there?
That's Al Gibson. He is the lead singer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miles Monroe played the song in South Africa.
Yeah.
No one at the church. That's a big church, about five to 10,000 people.
I listened to that.
And he, as he was about to preach, he went up and they saw him and didn't know what he's doing. He just walked towards the piano.
Yeah.
And people were curious. Yeah. Like, what you doing, Pastor Miles? Because you know, Miles Monroe is the most global bohemian, globally renowned in the Bahamas, right?
Yeah.
And he sat there, and he started tinkling at the piano, and the church just hushed and watching him. And people started talking about, what Reverend Miles is doing. And he started to play and sing this song.
Oh, Brand New World.
Yeah. And the crowd erupted.
Yeah.
Disbelief.
Yeah.
They didn't know he had that he could play the piano, that he had a band, and he go and explain that. So when I was younger, I was a part of this Visionaires, and this is one of the songs that we produced and sang.
Yeah.
And that song, that particular video on YouTube, millions of views, viewership.
You can see that song, Brand New World, was written by Dr. Miles Monroe, along with Al Gibson, because one of the voices Al wrote. One of the voices, and that's teenagers tried everything they could. Still, I wonder if they ever would find themselves a brand new world. But that song, it has a message for the whole world, for people in every sector of life, whether it's political, whether it's the family, whether it's been business. That song has a message for everybody, and so. And even when we received that name, the Visionaires, we didn't really understand or knew that God was preparing Miles with a vision, not only for the Bahamas, but a vision to reach the world. And that song was, I think, one of the main foundation to capture the minds of people throughout the world.
In chapter 6 of your book, the chapter is A Vision of Heaven's Glory.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, according to the book, you had a mishap and you had to end up in hospital.
Oh, yes. You know, we all sometimes go through our different challenges in life. And, you know, in 2015, I had a prostate problem. And I was in so much pain and didn't really understand what was going on. I was in so much pain, had trouble urinating, also had problem and getting a pass. So nights I was in so much pain, I thought. In fact, I was in so much pain one night, I prayed the Lord, he writes, well, take me.
Just take you?
Yeah, because I say, I can't go through this pain any longer. And after I went and get the surgery, and when they wheeled me back in the room after the surgery, I felt my spirit left my body, literally left my body. As soon as I get back after the surgery. And I end up to this beautiful place. And I look around and I said to myself, this must be. Because I don't see no beauty, no city. And I went to some cities and I say, I don't see anything beautiful like this, the splendor and beauty. And then somebody was standing in the back of me, and they touched me on my shoulder and said, look over there. And I look. Then I saw the streets of gold. Then I realized, this is heaven. And I began to jump up and shout and say, thank God I made it. And I said, I'm going to walk on the streets of gold right now. But he touched me again on my shoulder. He said, your time ain't up yet. Then I wake, and I felt I was back in my bed again in the hospital. And that's my vision of heaven. And so what I've seen in that vision, I tell you, I wouldn't want to miss heaven, you know, because heaven is real and also hell is real. So those of you who are listening today, you need to know, come to know Christ as your personal Savior if you want to get there to that place called heaven.
Every life has a reason, and every life has a season, and every season has a purpose.
Yes.
Walking through the season, the story of my life is a heartfelt autobiography that chronicles a journey of faith, loss, obedience, and perseverance.
Yes.
Through personal testimony and scripture, the author shares how God's hand was present in every season, joy and sorrow, waiting and fulfillment. This book is a reminder that even in life, hardest moments, God is shaping us for his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
If you are navigating your own season of uncertainty, this story will encourage you to trust in God's timing, embrace his process, and keep walking forward in faith.
Yes.
This book seems to be evangelical, that you're going out and will spread a message of hope, a message of coming to Christ, a message of going to heaven and hope.
Yes. As I said earlier, during the time in the hospital, now, if I did die, I wouldn't be here to really to share this, and this was 2015, so if I had to die, I wouldn't be here today to have this book out. And so I know that God has a purpose for me, and this is why. But sometimes we go through certain things in life, and God is just preparing us for what he has for us, and what he has ahead of us. And so we have to appreciate the process in which we go through. It's a process that we have to go through to that we will be able to reach that full potential that what God and that purpose that what God already designed for us to have.
We can take a quick commercial break here. The last chapter, you have an entire chapter honoring your wife, honoring my beloved wife.
Yes.
Right? Like I said, you have a chapter about marriage, and you go in detail of different chapters about fulfillment, different chapters about overcoming obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you have include some scripture and ways, because it's a self-help book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a self-help book.
Yeah.
But I want to know, for this particular journey of your life, you decided to include a chapter on your wife, and I wanted you to explain that and pay tribute to your wife when we come back from this break. Right. Guardian Radio AM, we're talking to Elder Godfrey Nuri. His new book, Walking Through the Seasons, The Story of My Life, is available by him. He's going to come back and tell us how can you purchase the book here locally. And of course, you can always purchase it by searching on Amazon and purchase it. We'll be right back.
Shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy on his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh. you don't want bullet hair. You say that. You know, she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct on. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
For a while there it was rough, but lately I've been doing better than the last four cold Decembers I recall.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, we have Elder Godfrey Nuri in studio with me. He has his brand new book, Walking Through the Seasons, The Story of My Life. You have it available on Amazon. You go and do that search. Also, how do I call you to contact you to buy the book from you personally?
Well, yeah, you could call me. My number is 565-0035 or 825-1800. And also, you could send me an email, godfreynewgmail.com.
Before the break, I mean, I know we're about to transition out. I mentioned that you have a whole chapter dedicated to your wife.
Yeah.
Why was that so important to include her into the book?
Well, that is it's very important because she was there to me, and she was one of the beneath my wings. Because, in fact, I mentioned to her, and I talked to her concerning this book. And she was be the one to help me. And together, we were supposed to write it, you know. But afterwards, you know, God seemed fit to take her. And after, you know, she was diagnosed with bladder cancer. And that is something I didn't, it really knocked me off guard. And, you know, it's, in fact, she didn't suffer too long. It was only but 2 weeks. She was in the hospital. And I thought that she was going to get better. Because I left the hospital like that, I think that Thursday, around but sometime after 8, get home almost 9 o'clock. And then, as soon as I get home, about 10 minutes later, I get a call. He got to come right back to the hospital. And when I got there, I tell you, it didn't what I expected. And it really was a sudden blow and a sudden loss to me and the family. And so, you know, I was able to, I'd say, well, since I getting this book out, I think I have to do a tribute to my wife. I mean, because she was my lover, my wife, and she's a mother for my children. I had 3 children. One girl, the girl who was the eldest, who the Lord see fit to take her, she passed when she was the age of 31, and that was in 2008. So, but I still have my 2 boys and a grandson. And so God has been here, and so it has been a journey after living, you know, without her. And that's the, really, she was the, the crop, the cream.
The cream of the crop. The cream of the crop,
right.
I understand.
Yeah, because I met her in 73. We got engaged in 74 and married in 75. Mm-hmm. And so this year would have made, 50 years or 51 years being married, you know. And so I give God praise. And
God remains good.
Yes.
Good. Godfrey Nuri. Elder Godfrey Nuri, Walking Through the Seasons, The Story of My Life, is a history book. It's an instructional book. Go ahead.
Yes, one more thing. Now, this book is not a big, thick book, but it's a powerful book. It has a lot of ingredients in it for history, people who want to know how the Nuri, how we came about and what we used to do during that time and how we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I said, in the early 50s, growing up in the 60s, the late 50s and the 60s, shooting marble and spinning top and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But these days, you know, people are shooting guns.
Mm-hmm.
Most every other day we hear someone getting, you know, young man getting shot down.
I appreciate you, and I thank you and for so making time.
I appreciate being here today with you and to share my stories.
Yes, and Mr. Nuri has left me one book to give away tomorrow, so tomorrow we'll use that as part of the show and be able to give one of the listening audience time to call in and get able to get access to this book. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri.
It's been a pleasure to be here.
Yes, thank you very much, Elder. Have a wonderful day.
If everything's good and it's great, why do I sit and wait till it's gone? Oh, I tell you, I know I've got enough. I've got peace and I've got love. But I'm up at night thinking I just might lose it all. Please stay. I want you, I need you, oh God.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.